Good morning and happy Sabbath to all of you, my dear brothers and sisters that are now presently hearing this presentation. I would like to bring to everyone's attention the moment we are living in. These are solemn and troublesome moments. But if we open our eyes and ears, we can see and hear the signs of an approaching Savior. These signs are reflected in our nature, reflecting in our society, reflecting in our economy. And now, specifically, we are facing a pandemic that, for the first time in the history of human nature, humankind has affected the whole world all at once. Now, this pandemic may have many ramifications, but one of the most important ramifications that I can see, it is a sign from the Lord to wake us up, His people. He needs us to become his representatives to this world. Before we start on our sermon, I would like to tell you a little bit about myself. I am a pastor's son, and for many years I left Jesus. Or I should say, I left the church. I was rebaptized in 2000. And from 2000 till 2007, I was living what I had presumed to be a healthy, religious, or Seventh-day Adventist life. And in 2007, I had an accident at work. It was an accident that I fell. Let me describe the accident. I fell from a height of approximately 25 feet, and I broke or fractured cervical 1 in 6 pieces, cervical 2 in 2 pieces, and several other bones in my body. So you are looking at a walking, or at the moment, a sitting miracle. At this moment of my life, when this accident occurred, I was given the opportunity to reflect upon my life. And not being able to work and not being able to leave the house, I was able to study a lot of the spirit of prophecy. And that's where I developed a very deep interest in the health message. I have dedicated my life since then to promote the health message to everyone and however I'm able to, okay? And this is why I accepted Sister Leola's invitation to speak to all my brothers and sisters today. And the message I am bringing today is health and spirituality. Sometimes we do not make the correct connection between our spirituality and the effect that our health standards have on our spirituality. We depend on our minds to hear God's word. And if our minds are clogged because of the way of our habits, our living habits, if we are overstressed, if we do not eat correctly, if we do not rest accordingly to the needs of our bodies, our minds become clouded, making it almost impossible for the Lord to communicate with us. And if there's no communication with us from the Lord, we will rarely seek the Lord on our own. So it is imperative that we develop a healthy attitude in regards to our body so that we can maintain this spirituality or this communication or this communion with our Lord. Today we'll start reading 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27 again. The Apostle Paul is describing in a very unique manner the trip that we Seventh-day Adventists must go through to achieve our goal of one day being with our Savior. And it reads, "Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth to the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul subjected himself to severe training. The words "I keep under my body" literally means to beat back by severe discipline the desires, impulses, and passions. I want to bring to the attention of all my brothers and sisters that the quotes of the Spirit of Prophecy are described right at the bottom of each of the pages. And if any one of you would like a copy of this, please get a hold of the pastor or Sister Leola, and I will send it to you. The apostle understood the importance of the healthful conditions of the body for the successful perfection of Christian character. There is no possible way that we can perfect the Christian character without complete, intimate, and deep communication with our Savior. So the apostle understood that health was a healthy condition of the body was something that was important. "Let none who profess godliness regard with indifference the health of the body and flatter themselves that intemperance is no sin and will not affect their spirituality. A close sympathy exists between the physical and the moral nature." There is no way we can separate physical from moral and spiritual. This is one body. And all of the members work together. The people should be taught that transgression of the laws of nature is transgression of the laws of God. They should be taught the truth in physical as well as in spiritual lines, that the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Proverbs 19:23. If thou wilt enter into life, Christ says, keep the commandments, Matthew 19:17. Live out my law as the apple of thine eye. God's commandments obeyed are life unto thee, those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4:22. When we associate the health laws with the moral laws and understand the connection and the importance of each one of those laws, we may comprehend the importance of not indulging. I may ask, would I break one of the Ten Commandments purposely because of whim? I certainly hope not. Do I believe that a little lie will keep me from heaven just as much as adultery? Yes, I do. So if I am peculiar about the details of my moral life, why shouldn't I be peculiar about the details of my healthful life? The transgression of physical law is the transgression of God's law. Our Creator is Jesus Christ. He is the author of our being. He has created the human structure, and He says we are wholly His. He is the author of physical laws as well as He is the author of the moral law. And the human being who is careless and reckless of the habits and practices that concern his physical life and health sins against God. Brothers and sisters, when I was preparing this message, the Lord impressed me that it had to be a message that would divide waters. This message is brought with all the love that you can imagine. But it is a warning that the Lord is sending to us that we must heed to the details of our physical life as well as the details of our spiritual life. As a people, we profess to be reformers, to be light bearers in the world, to be faithful sentinels for God, guarding every avenue whereby Satan could come in with his temptations to pervert the appetite. Our example and influence must be a power on the side of reform. We must abstain from any practice which will blunt the conscience or encourage temptation. We must open no door that will give Satan access to the mind of one human being formed in the image of God. If we are to be the light of the world, we are to be reflecting Christ's character. What would they contemplate if they see a people that are sickly, that are unhealthy, just like everyone else in the world? Wouldn't it be much more convincing if our gospel was supported by our healthy bodies, the healthy bodies that the Lord promised each and every one of us, if we were to obey his commandments. The greatest wealth of truth ever entrusted to mortals, the most solemn and fearful warning ever sent by God to men, have been committed to them to be given to the world. Who are they? We are them. We, his people, God's people, the Seventh-day Adventist people, are God's people, his representatives, his sentinels today in the world. We are supposed to be showing the world what life can be once you accept Christ as your Savior. It can be fulfilling. It can be overwhelmingly good. God calls upon every church member to dedicate his life unreservedly to the Lord's service. He calls for decided reformation. All creation is groaning under the curse of sin. God's people should place themselves where they will grow in grace, being sanctified, body, soul, and spirit by the truth. When they break away from all health-destroying indulgences, they will have a clear perception of what constitutes true godliness. A wonderful change will be seen in the religious experience. Now, can we grasp what we just heard? Once we break away from all our health-destroying indulgences, our religious experience will be wonderful. There will be a tremendous change in how we relate to our Creator and how He can relate to us. It depends on us allowing Him to give us the will to change our ways and stop indulging in health-destroying habits. The failure to follow sound principles has marred the history of God's people. There has been a continual backsliding in the health reform. And as a result, God is dishonored by a great lack of spirituality. So we can see the relationship between sound principles and spirituality. By neglecting the principles we must follow, we also walk away from the Lord. We have no right to wantonly violate a single principle of the laws of health. Christians should not follow the customs and practices of the world. After what we have just read and heard, let's get a little more practical on what all this entails. And so I am bringing forth the 8 laws of health. And if you notice, the first letter of each one of the laws of health read, New start. It is an opportunity for us to diligently follow God's desire for us to become a very healthy reflection of our Savior. And we will start with nutrition. What is nutrition? It is the food that we need for growth, for maintenance, and for restoring of our tissues in the body. Without this nutrition, our bodies cannot be maintained, cannot survive. You cannot live without eating proper food. Oh, yes. Today we have food called food that is more damaging to the body than probably abstinence would be. We have processed food that creates havoc in our digestive system. We have all kinds of diseases developing in our digestive system because of the food we are eating today. But we neglect God's instruction that we should plant what we eat for many reasons. First, we would know what we would be eating. Second, it would not be contaminated with pesticides and herbicides. It would not be GMO. The process utilized would not be poisonous like it is the fact in a lot of the processed foods that we eat today. But we neglect the direct instruction of the Lord. We are still buying most of our food as processed foods. And then we come to exercise. It is necessary to promote vigor, to promote circulation, and to treat this depression. Yes, the lack of exercise, physical exercise, will actually promote depression because some of the hormones that are produced while we exercise are actually the hormones that bring happiness, that bring a state of well, feeling well. And then we come to water. You know, a large percentage of the body organs are water. I'll give you an example. In our brains are 75% water. And there's an interesting situation. The younger we are, the more water our body reserves, stores. The older we get, the less the body can store water. And I had an interesting situation not too long ago. My mother was staying with us. She's 87 years old, and she loves to work on the garden. So about 2 months ago, you might remember how hot the days were. And she left the house and went to work on that garden, neglecting to take her water with her. And she worked under the hot sun for maybe a couple hours. I don't know exactly how long. But when I got home, I noticed that my mother was incoherent. She couldn't remember anything. She couldn't remember where she was. She kept asking the same questions over and over again. And the first thing that crossed my mind was that my mother had just had a stroke or was having a stroke. So I immediately put her in a car and took her to the hospital. As she was diagnosed in the hospital, they also thought that she was having a stroke. So they did whatever they had to do to confirm or deny. And they finally came to the conclusion that she was not having a stroke, that the whole issue was dehydration. My mother had gone into a deep dehydration only because she neglected to do something very simple that most of us do neglect most of the time, but because of the circumstances, the demanding circumstances in which she was working, it became more accentuated. We neglect to drink sufficient water to supply all of our organs and our system to function. It is advised that we should drink up to 3 quarts of water a day if we are not doing extraneous exercise. If we are doing extraneous exercise, you should increase your consumption of water to compensate for all of the water that the body is utilizing to refresh as you sweat. Next, we have sunlight. That's interesting how the sun can alter our mood. If you stay inside for a long period of time without exposure to the sun, you will notice that your mood will be, how can I put it? It will not be as happy. You will be in a bad mood. And the other reason we need sunlight, of course, is to increase or to acquire vitamin D. Yeah, you may say, yeah, but we can get synthetic vitamin D. We can swallow vitamin D. But let me tell you, even in that way, you do not get sufficient vitamin D to do all the metabolism functions that vitamin D has in your body. It is imperative that you expose your body to the sunlight. And that exposure should be optimum between midday, let's just say midday, for 20 to 30 minutes. And then, of course, we come to temperance. Temperance entails moderation in all things. That's moderation in the quantity of food, moderation in the quantity of work, moderation on the stress level that you allow yourself to be exposed to, moderation in all things, including exercise. And then we have air, the oxygen, the substance that maintains our body's functioning. It actually purifies the blood. The oxygen that we breathe in the air purifies our blood. But it is imperative that this air is fresh, not stale, like the air that we find in a lot of houses today, because people prefer to run their ACs instead of having a little bit of fresh air to exchange the stale air in their houses. I suggest, like I do in my house, in the summertime, you open your window in a couple of rooms, a little bit at the top. And in the wintertime, you can open them a little bit at the bottom. That way, fresh air is continually being exchanged in your environment, in your house. And then we come to rest. Rest is a moment for the body to process. When we think that when we sleep, all the body functions and the brain stops, actually, they go into like an overdrive. They start restoring what tissues have been damaged. They start renewing or building new cells. And they are strengthening. While we are sleeping, we are being strengthened. And our muscles are being restored for the next day's activity. It is no secret that the Lord made the light time of the day and the night or the dark part of the day for distinct reasons. We as adults should sleep from 7 to 9 hours a day, and that varies according to each one's body. Children in school age should be sleeping from 9 to 11, and young children, very young children, from 11 to 14 hours a day. Those are the requirements that we have for rest. And finally, the eighth and most important law of health is trust in God. We need to trust in God because it eliminates all the stress of this life. Without trust in God, what hope do we have? I mean, we look around us, all we see is violence, all we see is unsettled actions. And we see despair. We see people that are sad, death, disease. We ourselves face tribulations. If we don't trust in God, there is nothing we can do otherwise to have a healthy body. It is just a futile exercise to eat correctly, exercise, drink water, sunlight, and temperance, breathe fresh air and rest. Without communication with our Lord, deep, personal, intimate communication that builds trust, there is no hope. In Genesis 1:29, God gave us a specific diet for nourishing our bodies. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. These foods, prepared in as simple and natural a manner as there are but few as yet who are aroused sufficiently to understand how much their habits of diet have to do with their health, their characters, their usefulness in this world, and their eternal destiny." If ever there was a time when the diet should be of the most simple kind, it is now. Meat should not be placed before our children. Its influence is to excite and strengthen the lower passions and has a tendency to deaden the moral powers. Grains and fruits prepared free from grease and in as natural a condition as possible should be the food for the tables of all who claim to be preparing for translation to heaven. I want to repeat that. Should be the food for the tables of all who claim to be preparing for translation to heaven. The less feverish the diet, the more easily can the passions be controlled. Gratification of taste should not be consulted, irrespective of physical, intellectual, or moral health. We should never allow taste to dominate our mind. Our choices should be made intellectually and morally. Ministers and teachers and students, do not become as intelligent as they should in regard to the necessity of physical exercise in the open air. They neglect this duty, a duty which is most essential to the preservation of health. And yes, most of us probably exercise mice, but most likely inside, in a gym or maybe at home. We should be exercising as much as the weather permits in open air. When the weather will permit, all who can possibly do so ought to walk in the open air every day, summer and winter. But the clothing should be suitable for the exercise, and the feet should be well protected. A walk, even in winter, would be more beneficial to the health than all of the medicine the doctors may prescribe. Those who do not use their limbs every day will realize a weakness when they do attempt to exercise. In other words, if you don't use it, you will lose it. They who accustom themselves to outdoor exercise and to air in their houses, summer and winter, and use soft water for drinking and bathing purposes, they would be comparatively well and happy. I want to bring up something here about bathing, okay, especially showers. I would suggest that those that would like to try to experiment with contrast showers. The way you do this is you take your normal shower with hot water, and once you're done with the hot water, you immediately turn off the hot water and turn on the cold water for approximately 30 seconds. This will revigorate your body to an extent that is unbelievable. They who accustom themselves to outdoor exercise and to air in their houses, summer and winter, and use soft water for drinking and bathing purposes, they would be comparatively well happy. Intemperance in eating, even of food of the right quality, will have a prostrating influence upon the system. Strict temperance in eating and drinking is highly essential for the healthy preservation and vigorous exercise of all of the functions of the body. Intemperance commences at our tables in the use of unhealthful food. Teach them to grasp with the hand of faith, the outstretched hand of the Savior. Then the mind will be illuminated with the light radiating from the Sun of Righteousness. What physicians attempt to do, Christ did in deed and in truth. They tried to save life. He is life itself. This leads us to the trust in God. The hand of the Lord is always outstretched for those who in faith reach for it. It is no time now to sink down beneath discouragement and trial. We must bear up under all our afflictions and trust wholly in the Almighty God of Jacob. The Lord has shown me that His grace is sufficient for all our trials, and although they are greater than ever before, yet if we trust wholly in God, we can overcome every temptation and through His grace come off victoriously. Now, shall we, who have had such great opportunities, allow the people of the world to go in advance of us in health reform? Shall we cheapen our minds and abuse our talents by wrong eating? Shall we transgress God's holy law by following selfish practices? Shall our inconsistency become a byword? Shall we live such unchristian-like lives that the Savior will be ashamed to call us brethren? Shall we not rather do that medical missionary work, which is the gospel in practice, living in such a way that the peace of God can rule in our hearts, shall we not remove every stumbling block from the feet of unbelievers? This is the opportunity the Lord is giving us. Yes, he said the three angels' messages were the messages we were to take to the world. But the right hand of the three angels' message is the health message. Not necessarily spoken, but demonstrated in our lives, in the way we live with our families, in the happiness that is shown in our semblance. This is what the Lord is calling us to do. He's saying, let's show them. I want you to show them what I did for you and how I did it. So they will then be interested in finding out who I am. Ever remembering what is due to a profession of Christianity, far better give up the name of Christian than to make a profession and at the same time indulge appetites which strengthen unholy passions. Brethren and sisters, from the light given me, I know that if the people of God had preserved a living connection with him, if they had obeyed his word, they would today be in the heavenly Canaan. Now, it is our opportunity. We're not in heaven yet, but we can anticipate Christ's return. We can do that by allowing him to reflect himself through us. In every facet of life, including health, we need to understand the overwhelming connection between our health and our spiritual life. Aren't we tired of living in this world, in all this tribulation, watching around us just suffering all over the place? Aren't we ready to really reflect Christ so that he can then pour out the latter rain and finish his work on this earth and come back and retrieve us? That, my brothers and sisters, is what I pray for. I pray that he will impress upon us the urgency of obeying, not because of taste, but because of need to communicate with him all of his health laws. And let's understand, our tastes are adulterated by sin, because God never made anything that was not tasty or beautiful or good. So let's keep that in mind as we take time to reflect and choose rightly to obey God completely and reflect Christ's character as he wishes us to. The time is very near where the shaking will start, and those that aren't secure in the foundation of trust in God are not accustomed to a relationship, a deep personal relationship with God, will not be able to withstand the trials and tribulations that will get even stronger in the very near future. Today, as we speak, there are groups of religious, sincere people marching and having a gathering in Washington, D.C. right now, calling for the government to bring back God. That is a wonderful thing for so many people to be interested in bringing back God. But I need to bring this to all of our attention. These sincere people still believe that they should keep the Sunday. And maybe, just maybe, they may entice the government to implement a Sunday worship so that God can be brought back to this nation and globally. Today was declared as the day of prayer nationally and globally. Can we see how quickly things can develop? We have the experience now. We saw how it happened with COVID-19. Things can happen in a blinking of an eye. So it's today that we have to make the decision and take the necessary steps. Give the Lord the control of our hearts. That's what I pray for you and me in Jesus' name.